Today, I'm going to be preaching on relationships, which I love relationships. I love talking to people about relationships. And, you know, if you come to me 100 times about your relationship, I'm probably going to tell you the same thing. Evidently, that's what they need to hear. So today, my message is, what's love got to do with it? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Let's get right into it. So you weren't expecting it. You never saw it coming. You were minding your own business. You're just standing there and you're talking with your friends. And all of a sudden the door opens and in walks this goddess. She's your dream come true. She's every poster that you had on your wall when you were a teenager. She's the fulfillment of your dreams and your fantasies and your hopes. And you're like, I know more than anything that I've ever known that that's who I'm going to marry. I know it is. This is probably the third time you felt that way this month. But that's the way that love's supposed to happen, right? No. Unfortunately, in our community, that's the way love looks sometimes, right? And it'd be nice if it happened that way, if it kind of stuck. But most of the time it doesn't. But everybody wants to be loved, and everybody wants to give love. And without love, I'm telling you, we'd be desperate because we all crave love. And that's the way that God designed us to be. He created us. He placed in us a yearning to be loved so compelling that this is his design for us to be loved and to love and to give love. But we have to be careful, very, very careful of what our view of love is. And we have to measure it by what God says it is, not what we say it is. And that's the question that we need to ask. Am I in love based on my view, or am I in love based on God's view? And people try in many, 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 many different ways to find a real love connection. They want a love that's strong, a love that's deep, and a love that lasts forever. But did you know that the pursuit of love has caused more heartache, more pain, more brokenness, more bitterness than any disease, any war, you name it? It's the strive for love. And a lot of people struggle to understand the meaning of love and how they can find it. They don't know. And many, many people are willing to do anything for love. Especially, and they're willing to take a lot, especially when they think that this could be the one. Oh, he's the one. She's the one. But they set themselves up for heartache and for failure because they don't have a clear understanding of what love truly, truly is. But we don't know how to base sometimes, how to evaluate relationships and our pursuit of the decisions that we make whenever we're trying to find love. But what we need is a realistic, biblical understanding of what love is. And most of us don't have it. I was looking for love stories in the Bible, and I came across a few, and they're all kind of cloudy. Some of them are, you know, but at the end of the day, they loved each other, and they made it work. The first one was Abraham and Sarah. They're a prime example of why you should just seek Jesus. Seek the Lord a lot sooner than later. It's essential. And then there's Jacob and Rachel. He adored her, even though she had to share him with her sister. That's back in the day. Back in the day. But he favored her. He loved her. He cherished her. He favored her children or their children. And there's Ruth and Boaz. That brother was a catch. I'm telling you, he was. Because, listen, he was taking care of her before she even knew what was going on. He was like, she's worthy. And she showed herself worthy. And he took care of her family. So, you know, it was a mutual respect that they had for each other. And then there was Joseph and Mary. You want to talk about trust your partner? Ew, yeah. And Jenny and I were talking about them yesterday. And it was really funny because even before the angel came and said, hey, you know, it's really okay. You know, she's not pregnant by a man. She's, you know, it's all good. He could have had her put to death. He could have shamed her, but he chose not to. He was a man, really after God's own heart. I'm going to give you a few things of what love is and what love isn't. And we're going to kind of go through these. And first, I'm going to give you what love isn't. God bless you. What love isn't. And I'm going to go through about four things. Real love isn't the same as lust. Lust and love are confused in our minds. It's in our music, it's in our culture, it's in our magazines. It's so confusing. But love and lust are very, very different. Love gives and lust takes. Love values and lust uses. Love endures and lust subsides, goes away. Love is an intense feeling of attraction and care toward another person. It's profound and caring attraction. That's love. On the other hand, lust is a desire of a sexual nature, is what lust is. Love is faithfulness, it's loyalty, it's confidence, it's willing to sacrifice for the other. It gives the other person a chance, even if they're wrong. Even if your opinion of them or their opinion is wrong, you give them a chance. But lust is desire, passion, it's intense emotions. That's what lust is. Lust is commitment to one another. It's genuine intentions. You think about the other one's feelings before you act. That's love. Lust is an enjoyment of the short term. It's a mutually pleasurable relationship, generally, is what lust is. Lust will lead you down a path of crazy. It will. Everybody's shaking their heads, yeah? You're right, girl, you're right. But love endures. It's long. It's not something that you arrive at immediately. So do we know the difference between love and lust? Whew, thank you, Jesus. All right. The second thing is real love is not the same as romance. And romance is wonderful, don't get me wrong. Candlelight dinners, music, starry skies, walking on the beach, those special moments. That's wonderful. And it's awesome, but that is not love. It creates the sense of love. Ooh, I love this person. Girl, you know her 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm telling you, just because they walk with you on the beach don't mean you're in love. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know it. But romance can be wonderful, but romance is just a feeling. That's what it is. But love is deep. It's deeper. Real love is not infatuation. Yes, there's a difference between lust and infatuation. If lust gets you crazy, infatuation will get you thrown in jail. Infatuation is an intense interest in someone. Infatuation is a state of being completely lost in the emotion of unreasoning desire. Hello. Jail. No bail. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Love is an intense feeling of deep affection. You may be crazy in love, but most likely you're not going to jail. But if you're infatuated with somebody, it could get you in jail. Infatuation is an urgency. It's a sexual desire. It's anxiety. It's high-risk choices. Everybody get your ear up. It's high-risk choices, reckless abandonment of what you once valued. That is so good. So good. It's high risk choices, reckless abandonment of what you once valued. You will lose your mind. It can make you lose your mind. You know what? And that's where the devil wants you, because he doesn't want you to know what real love is. He wants you to know what stalking means. You will stalk somebody over infatuation. You know it's true. I just thought, I knew you were looking at me crazy. But love, it's faithfulness, it's loyalty, it's confidence, it's a willing to sacrifice for the other person. You're not going crazy, do something for yourself. You're wanting to please your partner. You're wanting to make their life better. Not going crazy and slashing their tires because they didn't talk to you last night. Infatuation is a reckless commitment to satisfy one's consuming lust. That's deep. You will do things that you don't think you would ever do. You'll go places that you don't think you'll ever do or go. You will follow somebody and miss work and lose your job. I'm telling you, infatuation will do a lot of things to you. And it'll make you go beyond what you were even capable of at times. Right? Infatuation, it leaves emptiness and constant turmoil. Where love is security and peace and a solid partnership. It's contentment. It's stability. That's what love is. That's what love should be. Infatuation will take off like Fast and the Furious. It's like a spark that will start a fire, but then it goes out really quick. Love will deepen with a passage of time. It's not something that, you know, is going to take off and just die. That's not love. If you're truly in love, it's something that deepens over time. It's something you learn. Infatuation is delusional. It's not real. Until you sin in jail. But infatuation will do things, and that person that you are infatuated with, they're not going to be there. They're not gonna care if you're sitting in jail. They're not gonna care what you're doing. They're gonna go get a restraining order on you. Infatuation is of the now. Love is a gradual process that happens over time. That is love. When people talk about falling in love, or, you know, the sight, oh, it was love at first sight. That is who I'm going to marry. That's infatuation. That's not love. Don't anybody hit me, because I ain't saying this. Jesus did. It's in the Bible, I promise. Real love is not the same as sex. A lot of people confuse the intensity of sex with the intimacy of love. And they're two distinct, very different things. Love is a process. Sex is just an act. Love is learned. Sex is instinctive. Love requires constant attention, and sex takes absolutely no effort. Love takes time to develop and mature. Sex needs no time to develop. Love requires emotional and spiritual interaction. Sex requires only physical interaction. Love deepens a relationship. Sex, when operating alone, no relationship, it dulls a relationship, and it will often end up killing it. Real love is not the same as lust, romance, infatuation, or sex. But we get it so confused. And the world makes it very easy for us to get it confused. And the devil loves for us to have it confused. Because we think that at the end of the day, that if we're just beside somebody, or we're with somebody, that we're happy, and that's how it's supposed to be. But see, we're putting our spin on it and not God's spin on it. If you look at love through our, if you're looking through love through your eyes, you're going to be totally confused. But if you look at it through God's eyes, and what love truly, truly is, then you'll know the value of it and the worth of it and the waiting for it. That's what love is value. And so I know I've told you all these things about what love isn't, but I'm going to tell you what love is, and I'm going to go through a couple of things. The first one and the foremost one is respect. That's what love is. True love always respects. It doesn't treat someone with disrespect. If you treat somebody with respect, then you love them. If you don't, you truly don't love them, or you're not loving them in the way that God intended for you to love them. When Jenny and I first started dating, I respected her physically. I respected her intellect. I respected her emotionally. I respected her socially. All those things. And at that time, I was just dating. We were just dating. And gradually, we began to fall in love. And then those things deepened. It wasn't, I was just going to walk away. But those things deepen. So I'd say if you want to find true love, the first thing, the foremost thing is respect. Respect even a future partner or someone that you even think. So if you meet somebody out, the first thing you don't want to do is go back to her place. The second thing that you don't want to do is get a U-Haul. And the third thing that you don't want to do is make sure your girlfriend don't find out. I'm serious. That is our community. Is that not our community sometimes? That's not love. That's a feeling. And in a month, you're going to have a U-Haul moving out into somebody else's house. But what's so bad is that is perfectly acceptable in our community, right? So the second thing that love is faith. I strongly, strongly, strongly believe that a love relationship that doesn't include mutual faith in Jesus is in trouble from the very first moment, the very first date, the very first kiss. If you desire true, true love, you got to ask yourself, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And does my future boyfriend or girlfriend, or even the person I'm going on a date with, do they have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? And listen to me. I don't mean that you go to the same church. And I don't mean that you belong to the same denomination. I mean, do you both have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? The Bible says, not Gina says, not Pastor Gina says, the Bible says that we're not to be mismatched with unbelievers because there's a separation where God is concerned whenever you do that. In 2 Corinthians, it says, do not be mismatched with unbelievers, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or, what fellowship does the light have with the darkness? That's pretty strong right there. Raise your hand if you know what missionary dating is. Deb, I know you do without even looking at you. We've talked about it before. Missionary dating is whenever you are dating somebody that you think you're going to lead to the Lord. And you know what? You may lead them to the Lord, and let's hope you do. But more times than none, they will bring you down to their level. I've talked to people that are no longer in church because of it. They're no longer with that person, but then they don't want to come back to church because they're wondering what people are saying about them. And so, no missionary dating. Be on the same level as somebody else. If you pray, let's hope you pray and read your Bible and you're close to Jesus, don't you think that it benefits your life, your dating life, then maybe your marriage, that person that you are longing to fall in love with is exactly the same thing in exactly the same place? See, two people with two different masters, they can't grow together. You cannot grow together. How many people do you know that have been here or in other churches? I mean, I've seen husbands and wives. You know what? My mother was one of those people. You know, my father didn't go to church, but my mother did. And it wasn't a divide, but I have seen it destroy marriages. Simply because going into it, they knew, but they thought that they were going to change them. And you know what? My mother prayed for my father for years and years and years. And eventually he did come to know the Lord. Praise God. But what a difference it would have made had he have been that person that was equally yoked with her. It would have been amazing. So I urge you that if you are involved with someone who doesn't share the love of Christ and you're not so deep into it, or even if you are, you might want to reconsider that relationship before you get into that whole marriage, and or either just say, look, you're coming to church with me, or, and I'm not telling you about a breakup with anybody. I'm not saying that at all. But pray about it. Pray about it and see where God wants you to be. Because if you desire to experience the deepest, the highest, the strongest love possible, then you need to be two hearts of faith. And if you want to find true, true love, make sure that they love the same Lord that you love. There's nothing stronger than Jenny and I praying together. I love watching her worship. We're on the same page. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's amazing to watch her worship the Lord and know that we're on the same page. When we started dating and we realized that we were both Holy Ghost filled, I was like, a lesbian that's Holy Ghost filled. That is hot. But it's amazing. It's amazing the difference. Does it make things easier? Sometimes, yes. But you know what? In the hard times, we know that we're on the same page, and we know that Jesus has it. And we know that we can go to each other whenever we have issues, whether it's a question of faith, whether it's a question of, we know that both of us are on the same page, we're both serving the same Lord, and we know that at the end of the day, that that's where our hearts are. That's a beautiful thing. And why? If you're single, you wouldn't want that. I just don't know why you would give that up for lust or give it up for infatuation. You don't want to find Jesus in jail. I really am teasing about that jail thing. But when you're looking, that is the most important thing. And the third thing is concern. If you are looking for true, true love, concern. The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't command us to love anybody any more than ourselves. And we're to love God more than we love ourselves. But we're to love our neighbor, our boyfriend, our girlfriend, our mate in marriage, as we love ourselves. In Ephesians 5, it says, help us understand the nature of love even better. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now we're talking about spouse. So don't get all caught up in the husband-wife. Don't get caught up in that. So what does it mean to love our own bodies as the scripture commands? What does that mean? And it explains it in the next verse. It says, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So God's definition of true love means to nourish, to protect, to cherish, to provide for its happiness, its spiritual growth, its health. And that's how we're supposed to be to another person. If you love someone, if you truly, truly love somebody, you will nurture, you will cherish, you will love, you will honor that other person. True love, listen to me, true love will never emotionally or physically exploit another person, period. if we're not nurturing, if we're not cherishing, I can't make Jenny happy. I'm not the source of her happiness. I don't want to confuse that. God is the source of her happiness. It makes her happy whenever I wash the dishes off. So if I deliberately said, I'm not going to do this, then I'm not making her happy. So basically, at the end of the day, I'm just saying, true love doesn't pressure a girlfriend or a boyfriend. True love will not insist on others breaking off friendships, healthy relationships, their families. That's infatuation. You have to realize that you're a masterpiece and you deserve to be loved in the way that God intended it, not in the way that the world says. But we're also to love the way that God intended for us to love. If we love selfishly out of our own needs, then we're not doing it the right way. I would say if you're married, love as if you love yourself and love as God loved the church. Jesus loved the church so much he gave his life. He laid down his life for us. I would do that for her. If you're searching for love, don't get misguided. Look at what the Bible says. Because you deserve true love. You don't need a watered-down version of it. You deserve so much more. And don't get caught up in, well, I'm just going to be with this person for so long, period of time, and then maybe I'll find. No. You know what? Hold out. Hold out. Because God will lead you to that person. Do you know that Jenny and I know I'm talking about us a lot, but Jenny and I were on the same parallel of life, really, and we didn't even know it. But God had been preparing us for the same amount of time, kind of going through the same thing. But we were both trusting God. We were both trusting that God would lead us where we needed to be, not knowing that it would be with each other. So I'm saying, if you wait, if you're patient and you don't get in the way, because a lot of us think, well, you know what? I can do this. Well, you know what? You could. But then in 2 months or 3 months or 2 years or whatever, you're going to be in the same exact place that you were. But if you let God show you, and you let God show you how to be loved and how to love, then you know what? In the end, he's got it. He's got it. Love is not turmoil. Love is not pushy. Love is not intrusive. And if it's anything other than that, then the devil probably has his toe in it. And that's not a good place to be. If you are at a place that you are looking for love, wait. Just wait. But while you're waiting, don't be idle. Don't just stand still and say, oh, whenever they come, they come. No. Work toward the things that you want to work toward. Learn how to love somebody. Start with your friends. Start with your parents. You know, start. Because God will honor that, and he sees it. And in the process of waiting for somebody, all those tears that you cry, because it's very lonely. It can be. He sees those. And he will honor them. And he will give you the desires that you're searching for. I love redheads, and I got a redhead. I'm not upset. But she could change it at any point. But it's a little bitty thing. It's the small things. Whenever I was waiting patiently for someone, I made this list. I had made it a while back. But I said, God, this is what I want. And I wrote down these things. And then I would go back and I'd say, whew, I really don't want that. It changed as I grew. I would say make a list and give it to God. And here's the things. Here's where God is the coolest thing, the coolest person, the coolest on the planet. Is he gave me what I wanted, but he also gave me what I needed. Because here's the thing. He knows me better than I know myself. And the things that I thought that I needed, whew, I really didn't need. And some of the things that I thought that I wanted, whew, I really didn't want. But the thing is he honored the fact that I was like, this is what I want. And he said, you know what? Not only is this what you want, but this is exactly what you need. And I got it. And even the things that drive me crazy, we don't try to change those things. It's part of who we are. But we love each other, and we're on the same page where Jesus is concerned and where people are concerned and where church is concerned. I mean, it all falls in. If you've got Jesus and both of you have Jesus, everything else will kind of fall in place. It will work itself out. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. If you're in a place in your life that you're looking for a mate, or either you have a mate and you're just not sure, I'm just going to ask that you give that to Jesus. Because he is the only person who knows that other person by name, by the number of hairs on their head, their heart, their desires, their hopes, their dreams, your desires, your hopes, your dreams. He's the only one who truly, truly knows. So I would say, give it to him.